You know about game-worn patches, but now there's game-worn cards? Is this really a new thing? Are we actually doing this? Do we like this, or is this a gimmick that the sports card world needs to forget? Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another episode of Cards on the Table. And Teapot, Doug, when I heard this story, I was like, what is a game-worn card? Because this is something that PSA just pulled out of their back pocket, literally and figuratively, here in the last week. And the sports card world is now spinning, trying to figure out if game-worn cards are actually a cool thing, or one of the worst examples of marketing just completely gone awry. We're gonna tell you what we think now, but for those of you who don't know, what has happened here is that PSA revealed that on March the 29th, they flew to Phoenix, and they went to one of Corbin Carroll's first games of the season, and they gave him a stack of six of his rookie cards. He then put them in his back pocket, and he played the entire game, sliding, diving for balls, hitting, with those six rookie cards in his back pocket. When the game was over, he then inscribed each of the six rookie cards. They all have different inscriptions, and then got them all graded at PSA. Well, some of these grades came back PSA 1, PSA 3. These cards are now being used for giveaways, for promotional purposes. The next day, they went to Kansas City and did the same thing with Bobby Witt Jr. Seven of his cards he had in his pocket the entire game. They got beat up. He's now inscribed them all. They're now in PSA holders, and PSA is declaring these game-worn cards. Is this the thing, guys? Are we gonna lead into the hype of this as a new collectible category, or is this just marketing gone awry? Teapot, I'm gonna start with you.
Well, I'm gonna say I don't hate this idea, but it's been a little while since I got kind of spicy, and I think that it is hilarious how many people feel like they need to just barf all over everything new that some company tries in the hobby. It's so predictable at this point when you go to the comments on Instagram. Maybe try lowering prices. Maybe try being better at grading. Maybe try not being so rich sometimes. Maybe try getting my cards back. I can't afford grading. I'll never get this card. Like, maybe try whatever utopian thing doesn't exist. Here's an idea. Anonymous Instagram user at collectsnicecards67. Maybe try doing something productive with your time rather than just commenting stupid things. There is like this problematic brain wasting disease taking over society where it's you're compelled to type dumb things on posts instead of doing something productive with your time. If you don't like this idea, who cares? It's PSA's idea. They're literally giving the cards away. It's not some profit thing. They're giving the cards away. Bobby and Corbin are both card collectors. Both of them enjoy the hobby. I think it's really cool. I thought the video they put out was short, sweet. It was fun to watch. It was interactive. They're doing these interviews with these guys. We're seeing more athlete engagement, not only with Fanatics, but with PSA, with other companies. I think it's really exciting. I think it's a cool idea. I don't hate it. It's novel. I wouldn't expect to see this blow up into something big. It would be kind of cool if something like this came out of a pack, for example. And to me, this is way more impressive than player-worn patches, not from any specific, you know, game or even a sticker auto. This was actually like held and sweat on by the player and carried out. It's unique.
It's true. I like it. For better or for worse, that is true. I don't know, Doug, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, in terms of an actual collectible, it's way better than a sticker auto. It's way better than a white piece of napkin that's not associated to anything. I'm not a super big fan of like purposely destroying a card and getting a low grade on it. But in this context, I think it's fine. I think it's really cool. You know, these guys got six cards. Five of them they kept. Both guys, Bobby Witt and Corbin Carroll, made one out to Evan Longoria, one of their buddies who also collects cards. So they had custom inscriptions for Evan Longoria that he got. I don't know what they're doing with the other ones that they got their hands on. But, you know, they got them to give as gifts or as part of their collection. And then, of course, one of each is going to be just given away. If you do a sub through PSA, I think it's got to be a value plus sub or higher. Now through June 30th, something like that, you get a chance to win one of these. And it's not going to cost you any money. It'll be a really cool collectible. I'm a fan of custom inscriptions as it is on the autographs. You know, Bobby Witt doodled a little bit. And I also like that you can trace it to the specific game. You know, this card was in Bobby Witt's pocket when he had two doubles, unfortunately in a loss. But you know exactly what to trace that back to. There's no harm in this. You're not hurting anything. You're not price gouging people. You're not printing 100,000 Tops Now cards and just literally printing money. It's cool.
All right, I got to tell you guys, when I first heard about these PSA game worn cards, I thought this was one of the more cheesy things that I've heard.
You were in the comments.
This is so stupid.
I thought it was cheesy. I was like, what is this that is PSA?
I would agree with you if they were charging $1,000 per card or something.
Yeah, yeah. But there's actually three things that have changed my mind on it that make me think it's actually kind of cool. One is the inscriptions were super cool. And I like the fact that the players actually took the time to write these inscriptions. And as you said, these players are also card collectors themselves, so they understand the value in that. So that's you know, one thing in the favor. A second thing that's pretty cool is that in these cases, a lower grade is actually better, right? Like a PSA 1, you want a PSA 1 in this case. And this is the only time in history that a lower grade is actually better than a higher grade, in my opinion, because you want it beat up being in the player's pocket. So that's kind of a cool little psychological twist to the whole thing. But then the third thing that convinced me over the edge is I said, while on face value, I think this is a little bit cheesy, what if a player actually did this in the World Series? Or what if a player actually did this in the NBA Finals or in this Super Bowl? What if Mahomes stuck six of his cards in the back of his pocket and played out the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl? Those cards would be the hottest cards in the damn sports card market the next year. So you know what? I was like, actually, as long as it's not done too often, as long as it's done selectively, I kind of like it.
The MLB debut patch is a sticker.
Yeah.
This is like sweat on. It's like a custom card too, in a way. For all the people who get bent out of shape, you know, some B vitamins, some 5-HTP, some things, it'll help. Just chill out a little bit. Take a chill pill. I think this is cool.
There you go. I'll tell you what else is cool, guys. PWCC's weekly auction every single week is full of incredible, cool stuff. This week, here's what I would scoop up. They have a 2017 Bowman Chrome Gold Refractor Ronald Acuna Jr. BGS 9.5, number to 50. Acuna is off to a slow start this season. His cards are dipping in price. Could be a really good opportunity to buy. This guy's going to get it turned around. He's great talent, great future ahead of him. This might be the window to buy that card. Teapot, what do you have your eye on?
A guy who is not dipping because he's the best in the league. It's Mahomes. Again, I'm back. And this is a card that I would love to have. 2017 Select Field Level Prism Gold BGS 9.5.
It's Gemini. A nice card.
It is a really good looking card.
Really so nice card. Big card for the weekly auction.
Yeah.
Doug? I've got some cards for sale at PWCC right now, but I am fighting the urge to shill my own stuff. I'm kind of with you, though. I'm also chasing Acuna autos while they might be a little bit more affordable. But I'm looking at a 98 Skybox. It is a Anthony Hardaway Star Rubies out of 50. Penny Hardaway was the first pro sports jersey I ever owned when I was a kid. I was a big fan back then, and I love this card.
Yeah, very cool. These cards, plus thousands more, are on pwccmarketplace.com right now. And you can even vault your own cards with PWCC. Use promo code SCI, and you can collect and vault and do all the fun things the same way we do here at Sports Card Investor. All right, Teapot, you did a Data Dive video on the Market Movers YouTube channel this last week, a longer one. I listened to the whole thing. I was working out on my treadmill, listening to the whole thing the other day. And you made a lot of really good points. You were talking about sports card psychology and how you can apply it to predicting whose card prices will rise next. Now, this kind of came in the face of Anthony Edwards' incredible rise in his cards over the last month, over the course of the playoffs. Of course, now that is starting to come down on the other side of that hill. But, you know, it had been an absolutely amazing ride. And you were looking at that and saying, what are the factors that made someone like Anthony Edwards really take off? And what are the factors that then could make guys in the future take off? And I know you identified things. You had a whole slide worth of things. I'm trying to find my notes here. Age, team dynamics, persona, draft pedigree, athleticism, play style, stats, all things that matter. And you started to apply it maybe even to some cards of guys from the last couple of draft classes. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about what you found as it relates to some of these players.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you check all those boxes, then it's a really good recipe for success. And if you don't and you miss on a few, which ones are going to, you know, flex and actually help the prices go up of players? But what's really interesting, we have enough data now in Market Movers going back 4 or 5 years now to see very real price trajectories. And there's a distinct difference between players drafted in the first half of the first round and lottery picks who are going to start out high on their prices. And they've got to be generational. They've got to be superstars to have those big price, you know, increases. Whereas you get a guy like Jalen Brunson, for example, who's second half of the first round, or actually he was second round. I think he was 33rd pick overall. If you get those later picks, they're going to start low and inch up, but it's going to take them a long time, and they're going to have to be really, really good for a while for them to even ever compete with those top-tier players. So you have almost these opposing trajectories of prices. I was trying to demonstrate that and understand. And then, like you said, look at the last two draft classes in particular to see who might be ready to spike in their third and fourth years coming ahead.
Yeah, yeah, interesting stuff. Doug, do you agree with these categories that Teapot laid out, or are there any that you think matter more, or any that you think might be missed here?
Yeah, I like the categories. I thought it was a really interesting look into all of the different things, because we try to talk about that a little bit on this show, what matters, and you know, we'll all hit on different points, but you kind of put them all together and it was a really good look. I was looking at draft pedigree, I was looking at the style of play, and then of course the stats, because when I was looking at your comparison of both Luka and Anthony Edwards, those were kind of the things that stuck out to me. While they both, you know, on very successful teams at the exact same spot in the playoffs right now, I think what sets those two guys apart and what kind of explains their price gap right now is really just the style of play. Mm. I mean, the draft pedigree is pretty much there for both guys. The age is pretty much there for both guys. They're just a couple of years apart. The stats is actually in favor of Luka, but Anthony Edwards is way more expensive, and it's really just his style of play. I think he's just a much more exciting player to watch. He reminds a lot of people of watching Kobe and Jordan, the way he handles the mid-range game. Then, of course, just absolutely explosive athleticism. I don't think he should be way more expensive than Luka he is right now. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. These guys may both, you know, their playoff run might both end right in this series. And then at the beginning of next year, what happens? They're probably around the same price again, right? I think the only difference with that is we have been baking in all these expectations for Luka for years. We've been baking in MVPs and championships, and they're starting to kind of get burned out on that. And we're seeing, you know, Luka's market correct a little bit, but Anthony Edwards is just beginning his hype cycle. Yeah. So maybe we have a couple of years of him looking like Luka from a price standpoint.
Edwards reminds me of Morant. A year and a half ago, right? Where there was like everybody was
there was a lot of explosion. People saw he had the crazy towering dunks and you know all those types of things. And well, let's hope Anthony Edwards doesn't go that same route, because that hasn't worked out so well for Morant's card prices recently, or his career recently as well. But hopefully we get him back next year. I thought you made a lot of good points here. And by the way, guys, if you watch the full video on the Market Movers YouTube channel, Teapot breaks down some of the guys from recent draft classes who he thinks have the best chance of checking all of these boxes in the years ahead. So maybe some tips on cards you should be investing in now. That is on the Market Movers YouTube channel if you haven't checked it out already. Another big thing happening I wanted to tell you guys about is Cards HQ Shop. You know, we're live on Whatnot every single day on the Cards HQ Shop account. This weekend, we have Brian Gray, Big Bri, the deal guy, the former CEO of Leaf. He is taking over the Cards HQ Shop account to do a sale of singles, all kinds of different singles, everything from entertainment cards to really old pre-war cards. So check that out. Make sure you are following Cards HQ Shop on Whatnot. That QR code on your screen or that link in the show description below will get you straight to our channel. Okay, first mailbag topic today. PSA with some big news this week, not just the game-worn cards, but also new holders. They've come out and said, we got a new holder design. You're going to start seeing new orders that you're submitting coming back in these new holders. So notable aspects. First of all, they said they've been testing this new holder for 3 years. It is made of medical grade plastic, which I presume is better. That's, you know, that's the implication that's being made here. It's certainly heavier. They say it's 20% heavier, which they're touting as a benefit. You might have a different opinion on that, but for some, maybe that's a benefit. Mylar sleeves are no longer used. The holders are now more resistant to heat, UV light, and humidity. Teapot, you made an interesting comment about these, maybe not liking a certain aspect, the weight. Talk to me. What are your thoughts on the new holders?
I like what they said about being heat resistant and UV resistant, et cetera. I hope they'll share some more specifics on what exactly that means. For example, if I have my PSA DNA graded auto, can I actually leave it out on display, or is it still going to fade like it will right now in any case if I leave an auto out? But the concern for me was the 20% heavier. To me, that is not a good thing. And the reason why is I'm carrying around my Zion case, my four-row Zion case at the National, with 160 PSA slabs in it. That thing weighs about 35, 36 pounds. Now I'm adding 20% more weight to it, another 6 or 7 pounds, to there I'm walking like Quasimodo by the end of the day, or switching hands, you know. That's a lot of weight to tote around in your card case. It's also a lot of weight to put on shelving and other things. That to me, I mean, at best it's neutral. It's not a plus to me. Maybe it feels sturdier, but I think that's kind of a downside. And the other thing to me is they're making it harder to crack the slabs open. You've experienced this. Other people have experienced this. I guess I understand why they're doing that, to discourage maybe cracking the slabs, but people are still going to do it. And I'm concerned that cards will get damaged now in the process. So security is important. I think it's good. I don't know. This to me, I'm excited about some of the improvements to it, but the weight thing to me was like, I don't love that.
Sounds like Teapot needs to get to the gym a little more.
Yeah,
what do you think,
I do.
Doug? I don't know.
Too busy.
Teapot's got to be doing some bicep curls here. We got to get off the keyboard and get on the bicep curls. Curl those Zion cases. Doug, I don't know. Do you agree? You agree with Teapot, or is this nonsense?
I think all the changes are positive, and I think they were listening to consumer feedback, because I see that all the time. Anytime we have a discussion, whether it's on this channel or we post news on Instagram, a lot of the feedback will come rolling through the comments, and everybody will tell you, well, BGS slabs feel the best, or the thickest,
or the
heaviest.
I hear that a lot.
That's a very, very common point of feedback, and I'm positive PSA absorbed that feedback and said, okay, if heavier feels more premium, we'll give you heavier. And, you know, I'm not too worried about it. Typically, when I go to card shows, I'm not bringing more than, you know, a dozen cards or something. I'm not bringing my whole collection with me. I don't have a ton of cards that I'm looking to sell at any given point in time, so it won't affect me, and maybe that's my bias showing there. But I like all the improvements they made. For me specifically, I really appreciate that they're not going to be using penny sleeves or Mylar plastic inside the slabs anymore. I have a Trevor Lawrence RPA that is in one of the Mylar sleeves, and it's wrinkled inside the slab. Mm-hmm. So it looks terrible, and there's nothing I can do to fix it. There's no way for me to smooth that out. So it's just a wavy plastic sleeve over that Trevor Lawrence RPA. So I'm really glad to hear that they're not going to be doing that anymore. Overall, I'm just glad to see PSA constantly making upgrades to their service. They've been doing that a lot this year. They've been making news a lot this year. A lot of people were using the word monopoly, and if PSA, or if any company for that matter, gets a monopoly, then they have no incentive to do any better. But we're seeing PSA just continue to make strides, continue to widen that gap between them and the competition, and I'm here for it.
I'm looking forward to getting one of these in my hand for sure.
I've got a sub out right now, so I'll
Yeah,
have
I got
them
one out too. It'll be interesting if they come back in the new slabs or not. Also interesting is this record, Topps Now record, that Victor Wembanyama's Rookie of the Year Topps Now card just set. If you need any evidence that the sports card market is continuing to heat up, and in fact is not slowing down, just look to the fact that 113,777 Topps Now cards of Victor Wembanyama Rookie of the Year were ordered. That is an all-time record. The previous record was Ohtani signing with the Dodgers, which, by the way, also was a fairly recent Topps Now card. That one had 107,541 ordered. Now, part of the reason for the popularity of the Wembanyama cards may be that anyone who orders that card has the chance of getting an autograph version of it. So a little bit of like a little mystery giveaway there. Maybe that helped bolster some interest. But Doug, what do you make of this Topps Now print record?
As soon as I heard the card announced, I thought there was a decent chance it could get the record on its own, just because people are so serious about chasing these numbered Wembanyama, you know, parallels. They're going for so much money, it's kind of hard to avoid. I even used some of my Topps reward points and bought 20 of those cards. You know, if I hit a numbered one, I'm in the green all day long, right? Once I heard they were going to just randomly insert an autograph into somebody's order, there was no doubt in my mind this was going to shatter the record. We're just so hungry for Wembanyama cards, and this is the lowest price point that you can possibly get to try to chase something significant of his, or of significant value at least. You're not going to be able to buy the Spurs and a Prism Break or something like that for under several hundred dollars. So this was really one of the easiest ways to try to get your hands on some Wimby. I expected it. You know, I saw it coming. As soon as I saw the autograph, I knew this was the record.
Yeah. Did it take you by surprise, Teapot, or did you have the same reaction as Doug?
I wasn't surprised, and I just thought, oh baby, the money printer just went brrr in the back room. This is about the closest you can come to actually having a money tree in your backyard, owning the printing rights to Wemby cards along with exclusive autographs. I mean, they nailed it. There's no better way to entice people than with the possibility of an auto. And I said it a few weeks ago, I will give Topps massive credit for the continued design improvements to these cards. They continue to look really nice. They're changing it up. Like you said, they've got the parallels, the autos. Everybody's really excited about it. I do think it's actually kind of cool to get a card like this that is, one, a known print run, mm-hmm. so you know what it is, and it kind of builds a community aspect to it for those people. So, you know, I didn't order any of them. I thought about it, but I do hope that the collectors who wound up with them actually enjoy having them in their
collection. I'll give you one of my base cards.
Oh, sweet. There you go.
Yeah, you know, I thought, Doug, you made a really good point about the price of these cards, right? These cards are, what, sub $20?
Yeah.
What were they,
$14? If you bought a single, I think it was $18.
Yeah.
If you bought in bulk, you could get it as low as like $8 a card if you bought in bulk and used your Topps reward points. They were like between $6 and $8 a card. So there was people that would be buying giant amounts with them, cashing their Topps points, getting them for $6 or $8 a card, selling them for $10 or $12, and just parallel hunting.
Yeah, and think about that. There's no other way to get Wemby cards that cheap. I mean, a Prism base card will set you back many multiples of that. I mean, even an NBA Hoops base card of Wemby is going to go for more than that if you're able to get in on those cards at $6 each or $8 each or whatever. So, and they're really nice designs.
Yeah.
Topps now has really stepped up the design of their cards. I like the design of this one. They've done a much better job recently of putting a lot more artistry into the design. It's a beautiful card. So I think I understand why it broke the record as well. Good luck. I hope you get some of the parallels.
Thank you.
That'd be a lot of fun. All right, and good luck to you guys. Good luck to you in the PWCC weekly auction this week. Make sure to take part of that and make sure to check out Brian Gray this weekend on Cards HQ Shop on Whatnot. We appreciate you guys watching, and we'll see you soon with our next episode. Take care.